I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Hey, everybody. Richard Blissbrook here for yet another awesome Road to Diamond interview. Today, we just connected with Heidi Hovan in Germany.
Hey, Richard.
Where are you in Germany, Heidi?
I'm in Bavaria, home of the Oktoberfest.
Nice.
World Cup soccer. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you're in a good spot. So yeah. I was telling Heidi earlier when we're Zooming, I've been doing a lot of Zooming with Germany lately because we have a new member in Cologne. So it's like the world is at our fingertips.
Yes, and it definitely is.
Heidi, you have an awesome story, awesome stats. I love your stats, and everybody will see them published on the page. So we're going to focus today on your story. The place I want to start is before Young Living, because I think you have some interesting things to tell us about who you were before Young Living. It's the first question I ask everybody is, who were you and where were you and what were you doing before Young Living?
Well, okay, it's best to start immediately before Young Living. I was, physically, emotionally, I'll tell you everything. I had just been diagnosed with diabetes about a year before. So what I was really thinking was my mind was going to, okay, I've got to take this medication. And I had already been on a natural lifestyle path. And all of a sudden I wanted to look for options that would make it easier for me to live a natural lifestyle. I was good on the diet. I was okay. I mean, at the time I was cleaning with like vinegar and lemon. I didn't know about Thieves Cleaner. So I thought I was doing good. But I wanted to use like other stuff, personal care products or whatever that were clean so that whatever this insulin was going to do to my body, I was okay. So it was kind of on a quest. However, I will tell you, it's really fun to tell the story with my sponsor, Mandy Reby, who's a crown, because I was like the member from hell, literally. Like I told her I didn't want to talk to her. I just wanted to buy the oils. By the time I actually like decided to get a kit, I was like, I just want to buy products. I don't like this whole MLM thing. My parents had been involved in an MLM back in the 80s. And I was one of those who had been dealt a really bad taste. And I knew that if there was anything in the world that I was not supposed to do, it was network marketing was not even a phrase. It was like the pyramid scheme that, you know, MLM stuff. So as soon as I was actually chapped when I found out Young Living was that network marketing, I was like, yeah, this is a euphemism. You know, no, let's get right to it. So I was one of those people.
Beautiful. I love that. And now you're a double diamond, and those are the best stories ever. So, all right, so that was your attitude, and that was your health. What were you doing for a living? Where were you living? What was going on in your life before you were introduced?
Okay, so when I tell my entire career story, which I will not do right now, I'll be happy to tell anyone who asks me in the hallway at convention next week. I literally am one of those people who, if you name it, I probably have done it. I've done anything from finance to teaching school to ministry. When I met my husband in seminary, and he was becoming a chaplain in the army, which is why we're in Germany. And so at the time that I got my kit, I was a military wife. I was a stay-at-home mom. And quite frankly, there was a part of me that I really think I was actually born to work. I was born to be an entrepreneur, born to be, you know, someone who's doing things, accomplishing things. But at the time I wasn't. So there was this big hole, you know, and it really showed in my attitude in my demeanor and stuff. I really, really knew something was missing. I just didn't know what it was. Because culturally, when you're a military wife, like, you know, spouses travel with the soldier. So, you know, having a career is something that's really hard.
And you had children.
And I had children. They were very small when I got my kit. My son, who's now 10, he was 3. And my daughter is almost 13, and she was 6 at the time. So that was 7 years ago almost. They were teeny tiny, and I was tired and stressed out. And, you know, again, really kind of a woman without a purpose. You know,
and you were homeschooling?
I was homeschooling at the time. And, you know, that was, I actually really enjoyed that. That was a bright spot, and it was really fun. And, you know, when you homeschool, especially in Alaska, there's a lot of opportunities to meet a lot of people. And that's how I met my sponsor. And she.
Tell us that. Tell us that story, because that's the next question, is how did you get introduced to Young Living, and who introduced you? The name is not important. I mean, share it for sure if you want. But what's more important is, how did you know this person?
So she would tell you this. We were acquaintances when I found out about Young Living. She invited everybody she knew to a class. And at the time, my husband was deployed to Afghanistan. So what I was doing was I had taken a short trip from Alaska to Oahu, actually to visit my sister. Yep. her husband's also a military. She was at HICM. She was at Pearl Harbor, basically. And I had been with her for almost a month. We had plans to go back. And the Friday night after we got back was this class. So I literally went to an acquaintance's house. The beautiful thing is, and I don't know if you're going to ask me this later, but she's become one of my best friends. So,
yeah. So, you know, the invitation is something that I'm always fascinated with, and because hardly any of the invitations that lead people to take a look are textbook or something that anybody would train. I don't know what your invitation was, but I'm curious as to what she said or what somebody said. So did mm-hmm. your sponsor, the acquaintance, did she invite you directly? And what did she say? What was the language that had you say, I'll go to that?
Well, in the name of things not being textbook, it is fair for me to tell you that I had actually been hearing about essential oils for a couple months, but they weren't Young Living. I had heard about another company first. Mm-hmm. And I was more like not really sure again. saw them at vendor fair and kind of walked by and was like, oh, that's nice, you know. But these seeds got planted over about 2 or 3 months. And so what my sponsor did was she, you know, I was in Hawaii. She put an event up on Facebook at the time and just said, hey, guys, I've been so fascinated. I've been researching for a really long time. She's a green personality. She's like, I found these things. This is like, I'm so excited to teach you about this. And it was literally because I'd been hearing about it for a while and my interest was already piqued that I was like, oh, this is a great chance for me to learn a little bit more. I've been hearing about this. And I'd actually even tried yet another company's essential oil for something that happened, you know, the month prior. Non-compliant issue, but I'd seen that work. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I really need to learn more about this. And so it was literally just kind of one of those very serendipitous type. It was a generic Facebook invitation, and I saw it and I was like, well, I'll be back in town. I should plan to go. And okay. I got a babysitter and I went.
Good. So the point I want to make about that for everybody listening is notice how, you know, sometimes people think, oh, wouldn't it have been great if we got involved in Young Living, you know, back in the day, the ground floor opportunity, except the challenge is nobody in your network. Nobody, well, there wasn't even Facebook back then, right? So that invite right. never would have happened. And people like you probably wouldn't have already heard about essential oils. So right. the more people that hear, even from competitors, about whether it's chemical-free cleaning or essential oils, the awareness goes up. And sometimes mm-hmm. people have to hear about it, like you said, for months before your invite catches them at the right time. So mm-hmm. your story, Heidi, is you know, it's unique, but not that unique. And it's going to be more frequent moving forward as people learn more about these products from wherever they might learn them. It's always a good thing. Competition yeah. is actually a good thing. It raises the awareness of everybody mm-hmm. in the marketplace. So you got in Young Living just for the products and not for the opportunity. Is that safe to say?
I don't know if you know the story about Burr Rabbit, but I remember hearing about Burr Rabbit when I was little. And yeah, Burr Rabbit didn't want to get thrown in the briar patch, but actually that's exactly where he wanted to land. So on one hand, you're absolutely right. Like, oh, don't tell me about the opportunity. I don't want to hear about it. I'm sure there's a business. I don't want to know about it. But I was curious, and I had tried a couple of direct sales opportunities before. Somehow it was okay to sell stuff, but it wasn't okay to be a part of it anyway. Like, right. I don't know, figure out what's going on in people's brains. You just, yeah. it's always funny, but.
Sounds like you were objecting with your head, but then everything you told us about you before Young Living, you were a mover and shaker. You were a doer. You were a risk taker. You were always doing something different. And you talked about during that period of time before Young Living, you actually weren't engaged in opportunity or career or work. And that created a void. Mm-hmm. So, and this is typical where people, your Briar Rabbit story is perfect. I use that story all the time with Kimmy when she tells me that, you know, she's going to do that. And I go, oh, no, don't throw me in that briar patch. But it's so typical that that people object with their head, but they're moved more with the heart. And so tell us about the process of, okay, you went in kicking and screaming to the opportunity, but how long did you resist? And what happened that your lights went on, that you had that epiphany, that breakthrough, where you let go of all your objections and you shifted, and all of a sudden you became an ambassador for not only the products, but the opportunity?
Well, okay. So probably about 2 weeks after I got my kit, I had some, again, non-compliant things happen when I first got it, and I thought I was wrong, because the other thing I didn't say is that I was incredibly suspicious, and I thought this was a placebo and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm telling you, I had, if anyone wants to know how to overcome an objection, they can talk to me. I can tell them how Amanda did it with me. She was incredibly stealth and very, like, you know, even keeled. She's like, okay. And just let me do my thing. So I had those issues with the product. I was like, maybe there is something to these essential oils. And then I found out that there was money to be made. And at that time, I was tired and stressed out, and I missed making money. I had been a corporate girl before. And she sat us down. She sat myself and actually her other diamond now. Down to look at the comp plan. She showed us a little bit about how it worked and the Unilevel stuff and the $50 when you sign someone up. And I was like, I signed someone up and I earned $50. What? Now, of course. And so my gears started to turn, but then I have to admit, I'm not sure if I'm proud of this or not. I mean, it is what it is. But when I've watched friends of mine go to other friends' classes, because she had signed up a few people, and everybody else was doing the business but me. And so I have to admit, there was a little FOMO there, because I was like watching my friends go to other classes. And I was like, I could stand by and let these other people start a business. And then my entire, I didn't know the term war market, but basically it was my war market was going to be gone. Or I could decide to throw my hat in the ring. And then I told her at one point, she goes, well, you know, it was before I had my first class. She said, I told her, I said, well, I think I'm going to try this and see how it goes. And she said very profoundly, once again, like queen of objection answering, she's like, well, I have to tell you that if you wait and see how it goes, then I promise you, I know how it's going to end up. Or you could just decide that you're going to be successful and then all bets are off. And I was like, oh. And it was like a big mirror in my face. And I was like, okay, I'm not the type of, I'm not, first of all, I'm not the type of person to leave my future to chance. You know, I know how to do things and I can get them done. And so I was like, well, obviously I need to decide that I'm just going to do this. And I just, from then it was like, you know.
Well, so she coached you to your epiphany.
Yeah, she did an artful job too.
She listened and she asked you the right questions and she was patient and she coached you. And it, when it was time to call you out, she called you out.
Very gently too.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Yeah. Who's your sponsor?
It's Amanda Uribe.
Where does she live?
She lives in Idaho. She lives actually just outside Coeur d'Alene.
What town? I have a home in Coeur d'Alene.
Oh, Hayden.
Oh, she lives just north of me.
Okay, on the lake. I think she's on the lake over there.
She's on Hayden Lake. All right. Yep. Well, we'll have to tell her that I want to interview her. I'll be in Coeur d'Alene the first week in August, so I'll track her down and buy her a cup of coffee and interview her.
I'll give her the head. I'll tell her. I told her I was talking to you earlier, so.
Awesome. All right. So let's get into your build. So once you decided to do it, I love your numbers, by the way, Heidi. You have textbook numbers. One of the reasons I do these interviews is I like to give people a roadmap for anything they want to accomplish. Like, how do I get to silver in 6? How do I get to platinum in 2 years? How do I get to diamond in 4 years or 5 years or 6 years? And it's crazy that the hundreds of people that I've interviewed and documented so far, like 120 of them, people that have followed your same pattern have almost all ended up in year 5, year 6, or year 7 earning a mid 6-figure income a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the pathway is really based on how many people do you personally enroll in that defined period of time, that compressed period of time. So tell us about year 1 for you.
Okay.
How many people did you enroll? Why, what was your mindset around working at that pace? And what was your strategy for finding people, getting in front of people, and getting them motivated to enroll?
Okay, well, I have to tell you up front, I'm a blue, so I'm going to go off the seat of my pants what I remember, because I don't have numbers in my head, but I do remember. Okay, so one of the first things I will say, and this is a plug for your book, because it was literally one of the first things that I did, was my sponsor gave me the four-year career, and I read it, and I was just like, wow, I have to do this. And it was the Young Living edition that had like Adam Green and Jelene Hay and Alina Renato and, you know, people like that in there.
Who was your sponsor that gave you the book?
Corey DeVries. And they're in Alaska. That's where I lived when I got my kit, and they're still there. Corey and Gordon. Let's see, so I started in March. My first class, I had 31 people there. And I think 21 wow. signed up. Yeah, I mean, I was so excited and so on fire. And I tell my team, I made sure that I got butts in the seats. I mean, basically, I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to screw up. And I'm not going to miss an opportunity. Like, I literally felt like that entire first year, basically the mantra in my head was grab the low-hanging fruit, grab the low-hanging fruit. I had a lot of people who were just like me, and they were super interested. And I was like, well, you need to come do this with me. And they did.
Let me put some color on it, because you're laying down some real gold here. Like, we could do a 2-day seminar based on what you've said so far. So I want to dive into your mindset, Heidi. Okay. And don't use the colors
okay.
as like a way to color you, because if you were a green, the 4-year career would not have spoke to you. I mean, if you were a blue, career would not have spoke to you. So I'm of the philosophy that we're all a rainbow, mm-hmm. and as soon as you start labeling yourself with a color, you limit. So Yeah. What I want to dive into is your mindset. So you had this mindset that had you said get 31 people to your first class. Mm-hmm. There's a particular mindset that goes out and invites people to come to the class.
Uh-huh.
And you actually spoke to it with your sponsor's mindset, like how mm-hmm. she was promoting people to come to her classes. What were you thinking about you and your future in Young Living? Like, give me some dialogue of the thoughts that you had about what you were going to do, mm-hmm. how confident you were that you were going to do it, which confidence is something that we just make up, like we just decide. Yeah. And, you know, just give me some flavor about, like, why didn't you doubt? Why didn't you hesitate? Why didn't you try it and see if it would work? What was the conversation you had in your head and your heart that had you just go at it with extreme passion, on fire? Did that had 31 people mm-hmm. show up to your first class? Can you speak to that?
For one thing, I was proven wrong. The products worked. And I was like, I'm going to keep using these products forever. And I expect I'm going to have a big team. I knew that. And I knew
That is so key, Heidi, that you knew that. And the point I want to make is when we know stuff like that, we make it up. You'd never done this before.
No.
Never sold essential oils before, never built a successful network marketing team before. Had you ever made $100,000 a year in your own business before?
Nope.
Had you ever invited all of your friends to come to any kind of an event before?
No.
The point I want to make is that, like, I'm making this point for the people listening, because most of the people listening are not diamonds. They're executives, they're senior stars. How do I get there? I want to get mm-hmm. there. And everybody's looking for the strategy.
Right.
Like, what is the strategy?
Right.
And I'm telling you, the strategy is what Heidi is saying about what she decided. Mm-hmm. That's the strategy. Because from that comes fire and enthusiasm and conviction and courage and mm-hmm. massive action.
Right.
So class number one, 31 people showed up. How many signed up?
21.
That's amazing.
It was.
Why did 21 people sign up? Why didn't instead of 31 people showing up, 3 show up? And instead of 21 showing up or signing up, nobody signed up? Because some people have that story. Well, why do you think that was the case?
I think two things happened. For one, the passion was still there about the products. And I was like, people have got to know that this stuff is legit, basically. But the second one was the process that I used to make sure people got there, because.
Tell us that.
Yeah. So I reached out to everyone individually, and I forget exactly how it went, but basically it was like, hey, you've been watching my stories. Cause at that time I was using Facebook. I was posting on Facebook. Oh my gosh, look what happened to my kid or whatever. And I reached out to him. I was like, it would mean the world to me for you to come. Like, you really need to come and hear what we have to say.
That's golden language. It would mean the world to me if you would come. That's priceless language.
Well, and I think, yeah, the bottom of it was this whole, like, we have a lot that if you miss, you're going to miss it. You know, so it's like we have this massive treasure trove that we wanted people to participate in, not money, but products. Like, we wanted them to know. And if they didn't come, they were going to miss it. So that was what drove us. So I called people. I private messaged them. I texted them. Like, literally, I spent like the 5 days before the class just practically talking to people to make sure they would come.
Yeah. That's not leaving things to chance.
Nope.
Nope. And you know, the power of that kind of conversation, Heidi, is, I know you've experienced it now with 7 years, is, you know, you can invite people to come to something casually and they will say yes casually, but then when it comes time for them to get dressed and get in their car and go to the event, there's this cascade of excuses.
Right.
Things they'd rather be doing, including mm-hmm. just staying home. And how you prevent that from happening is the depth of the conversation that you have with them leading up to the event, including, mm-hmm. you know, telling people, hey, it would mean the world to me if you would come. People remember that when they think about not coming. So right. that's priceless that you put that much individual conversation into your invites. Let's move to the rest of the year in terms okay. of pace of play. Did you have a number of classes that you planned and committed to have a month? Did you have any kind of schedule? How many classes do you think you had a month in your first year?
I had probably between 4 and 6 classes a month, and not all of them were intros. You know, I was having lots of individual coffees too. I'll throw that out there. Like, those were classes that I would have, like, meetups. People would say, if someone said, oh, I can't go to your next intro, I'd be like, okay, when are we getting together? Like, bring your kids over to my house. You can look at my diffuser, blah, blah, blah. So I was doing probably that first year. Now, just so everyone knows, like, in the military, you move all the time. So I got my kid in February, started building in March. By December, I was moving. So that 9-month period of time, I was doing probably 4, 5, 6 classes a month. And we were enrolling by October. October's when I went silver. And never forget, I don't know why, 183. That's how many members I had. Most of them enrolled by me. I had a few other people sharing. I was way too wide. But, oh, well. Yeah. So October 31st, we hit silver. And back in those days, they did silver and 6, and, you know.
So it sounds like year one was all about personal enrollments. What happened with you in your leadership transformation and your strategy that you transitioned from personal enrollments being your only strategy to leadership development, rank advancement for your team? Did you learn something? Did you study something? Did you get coached? What happened that you transitioned to leadership in addition to personal enrollments?
So I didn't learn anything official. I did start personal development that next January when I had moved from Alaska to South Carolina. Correspondingly started kind of reading and learning. At that time, I didn't really have anyone else that wanted to build a business. I had several people. I mean, that I think, and I'm finding that can be, watching Conscious Language, it has in the past been, I need to tell my family to be quiet. That was an issue for me in the past.
Right.
So hold on just a minute. Hey guys, I need you to be quiet, please. I'm on the phone. They need to be quiet. I'm on a call. So anyway, what happened was I started really personally reaching out to people on my team, sharing what we were doing. I mean, I was talking about the fact that I was able to pay for my cell phone bill with my, okay, hi, John, with my check. I was talking about the fact that I was able to pay for my kids, you know, books, their homeschool stuff with my check. I just started kind of telling people what we were able to do with my check to see if I could. And honestly, I had to say where I was super dedicated to reaching Diamond and beyond. I had a lot of people that joined my team and had gotten a kit, and I was so focused on enrollments. I had a few people that were, you know, had small teams, but no one was really interested in taking it very far. Until I started dripping information about the opportunity. We started doing a little bit of compensation plan education and some business building, boot camps, coaching, and stuff like that. And that was actually stuff I had to develop the materials myself, because at that time, 6 years ago, we didn't have it.
So you didn't distribute the Young Living for your career to your entire team?
Not to my entire team. I bought 30 books and gave them all away. And unfortunately, when I moved, every time I move, all bets are off and things change and patterns change. But those 30, I will tell you, Richard, though, those 30 people, I gave them the book literally when I first got started, probably April or May. I think it was May. To that, when I got my kit, those 30 people that got that book. So I need to probably get some more books because they are the backbone of my team. Those 30 people who got the books are my executive senior, you know, they're silvers, golds, platinums.
Yeah. So, well, that's why I wrote it, because if you can put as much conviction and vision and motivation on the income opportunity as we do the products, you don't end up with half and half, half customers, half builders, but you end up with a lot more builders.
Mm-hmm.
And builders are what create exponential growth. Customers don't. Customers
right.
create income.
Uh-huh.
Builders create exponential growth.
Right.
We need both for sure. All right.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the process of getting to Diamond. So if you remember, and I think you have it in your stats, how many people did you personally enroll your second year?
Oh, I think of like 100, something like that. I'm not exactly positive, but something
You enrolled 100 in the whole 4 years. Do you remember how many people you personally enrolled your second year?
I'm trying to think, because I enrolled most of them the first year. And the problem is I've stacked a ton of people since then.
Right, yeah.
My numbers might be wrong. So 25, probably 25 that second year. Yep. Because I'm doing math backwards.
Right. That's all right. We're going to post your number so people
Thank
will.
Thank you.
So, and how long did it take you to get to Diamond?
Let's see. It was 2016. It was 3.5 years. 3.5 years.
Hey, John. John, I think you're going to be a kind of a movie kind of. A Zoom expert, because you don't have any hesitation to be on camera.
He does not. No.
What do you think about mommy's business?
What do you think about my business?
Thanks for the money.
At least he's honest.
Notice he didn't say thanks for the essential oils.
All the fun, awesome things you get to do, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Heidi. Hey, beautiful story. Last question I want to ask you is, what's the future for you? What are you working on now? What are you going to do over the next 4 or 5 years? Do you have people that you're coaching that are rising to Diamond? What's your vision?
Well, my vision in the next 4 or 5 years is that we'll reach RCD. Right now, I think, you know, where we are at this moment is really, again, really connecting with my leaders and inspiring them. You know, when you go through challenging times within, you know, the business, the industry, it's really, really important to kind of put that time frame in perspective. And so a lot of it has been reminding people that, like, we're in this for the long haul, you know, and things like that. So right now, my work, one of the things I love to do is I love encouragement and inspiration. And so I'm personally connecting with each of my leaders and encouraging and inspiring them to stay, you know, stay focused on their own vision. They're all completely committed to Young Living. It's just staying focused on their own vision for what they want.
Yeah. Well, for sure, if we could track Gary and Mary's whole 25-year journey, that they would have some ups and downs. They would have some years that required that they suck it up, buttercup, and keep
right.
your surprise and work through it. So that's all part of the journey. Hey,
it is.
Heidi, Hovan, thank you so much for joining us for Road to Diamond. Awesome interview.
Great story.
I like to tell everybody, because convention's coming up, I'll be doing convention, but I'm not sure how I'm going to find you out of 50,000 people.
I hope I get to see you next week. It might be a across the room or something.
Look for the guy in the Super MLM Man shirt.
Excellent. I'm glad you're going to wear that.
All right, Heidi, thank you so much. The work is worth it.
It is.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.